quality, non-processed food makes all the difference at Wingfingers. See their menu at wingfingers.com. It's Kenny with Coastal Traffic on WABF 1480.
And good morning. This is Mark here this morning on 1480 WABF. Currently, it is 60 degrees outside. It was about 58 when I came in, but it is warmed up slightly, going up to in the 70s today, but it's dark and dreary outside. So we do have some rain coming in out of the Gulf, so just keep that in mind. In the studio with me this morning, I've got Hunter Simmons, who is the planning director. He's not on the planning commission, which I said earlier. What's the difference between the two, Jim?
So,
Hunter?
I am a staff member. I work for the City of Fairhope.
Okay.
Paid employee, and we review projects and recommend and kind of enforce the policy created by the Planning Commission and City Council by way of subdivision regulations and zoning ordinance mainly.
Okay.
The Planning Commission is a group of volunteers that meet once a month to review and in some cases decide the fate of a case,
okay,
if you will. And then in others, depending on where it's located and what type of project it is, they make a recommendation to the city council whether to approve or deny a case.
Okay.
So those are our every city that has a planning jurisdiction or zoning ordinance has a planning commission,
okay,
in Alabama. And those are volunteers,
okay,
community members that have an interest and review projects and vote on those. And they have kind of specific criteria they have to use to do that. So a lot of people think it's just gut feeling and I like this, I don't like this.
I don't like this.
You know, there's certain rules and processes in place and bylaws and regulations,
okay,
that they have to follow. Yeah.
That just doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
it can be interesting and also put some people to sleep.
Yeah, I would probably be one of those halfway through. Be like,
yeah.
So okay,
it's very in depth that when you look at, you know, how you're growing, whether you're doing dealing with traffic, drainage, utility installations, you know, what size lots things are, you know, a lot of information
sure.
to pack in.
Well, you know, for years we've said, and this is just as a resident of Fairhope, you know, we've got too many people here. We got too many people.
Yeah.
And with all the houses that came in, we said we do not want apartments because apartments would be so many people coming in. And now looking around, we're like, maybe we need some apartments because we've got to have lower, you know, a place for an individual to rent, mm-hmm, you know, in Fairhope, a person that makes $15 an hour cannot live by themselves.
This is true.
Hardly. So, yeah.
This is true. And we are in the middle of a comp plan project. So comp plan is the, not regulations, it's a visionary plan that, mm-hmm, it looks 20 years out and see what do we, tries to forecast the problems of the future and let's get ahead of them.
Okay.
And one of the things we've been meeting with for 4 months, tonight is actually a meeting, and we'll plug that, at the Civic Center at 5:30. We do have, we've been going since October with public meetings, and this will be the first time the team we've hired to help us with the comp plan will be presenting ideas. So that is at the Civic Center. We have free pizza, so invite anyone to come join us at 5:30 at the Civic Center. But one of the things that has come up, and it's probably one of the most debated things during that four-month period, is affordable housing and what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the points you bring up is true, and there's different flavors of that, you know, whether people want their children to be able to live here,
right,
when they have their own family and that starter home, or apartments, as you say, you know, and what we've kind of looked at is the historic pattern of Fairhope. Fairhope had affordable housing in portions. I mean, we kind of had a broad
right,
diversity of housing types. I mean, there's mobile home parks right here, mm-hmm, around town. There's so keeping that ratio as we grow, but making sure where they're located geographically can make a big difference for traffic and installation of efficiency of utilities and drainage. So we have had our fair share of those approved in the last 3 years. So it's all about balance, you know. It's, mm-hmm, you don't want too much of anything. You want a good diversity of housing types.
It's all about finding the balance. Now, see, my plan years ago, which I proposed, was building a wall around, not letting anybody else in. That plan did not go through, so now we're stuck with the consequences.
It is. It's a sentiment we hear quite a bit. And what's interesting, you hear it from five generations, Fairhope families, mm-hmm. and you hear it from people that just moved in 5 weeks ago, into town 5 weeks ago. So, we just moved in. I'm going to shut the gate behind us.
Close the gate when you can.
And that's just not a real, I mean, Fairhope is known. We hear, it's amazing when you talk to people around the country that know Fairhope now. Mm-hmm. And from Minnesota to, Arizona, we're seeing a lot of people in these meetings that are both from here, longtime Fairhopians or Fairhopers, whichever you prefer, mm-hmm. and then the newcomers that want to make this their home. So how to come up with a plan that works for 25,000 people is one of the biggest challenges you can can have. So that's what we're working on.
Right. And Fairhope itself is not that big, mm-hmm. and most of the growth that's taking place is taking place outside of city limits. Mm-hmm. How much control or influence do you have over something like that?
Sure. It's unique a little bit in Alabama. Many states have state regulations on certain things.
Okay.
Different flavors in different states, but from environmental protections, water drainage, some have required zoning all over the place, so you don't just have, apartments move into next to a farm or the pig farm is always the one that comes up right next to a single family home or industrial. Alabama doesn't have a lot of state guidance on those things, so they have planning jurisdictions that have been a controlling factor, and it allows a city to establish a planning jurisdiction that's kind of a halo outside the city limits where the city knows they will grow into. And that's what Fairhope has. We don't do zoning in those planning jurisdictions. Technically, it's what we review projects based on our subdivision regulations. So that's the document that we review projects. And like I said, that's more objective matters like traffic concerns, drainage, utility installations, wetland environmental protections.
Yes. Most people don't consider, we've got a subdivision that has three OCBs in there to provide power for 400 houses.
Yeah.
If we stick another 200 houses here, those OCBs are going to be overwhelmed, so we're going to have to either buy another one and run new lines, or what are we going to do? So.
Exactly. And some of those things with our, some of those areas are Fairhope Utilities, some mm-hmm. are Baldwin EMC or Riviera, and we work with those agencies too to make sure there's a review process that we can handle those things. Now there is hopefully we get to keep our planning jurisdiction. There was a state law passed that any county can just come right to the corporate limits. So we're working with Baldwin County. Hopefully we'll be able to maintain our planning jurisdiction. We'll know that hopefully within the next 18 months.
Okay.
So we are planning or with our comp plan in those areas that have historically, there's the community of Fairhope and the city of Fairhope.
Right, and two completely different things, because the city of Fairhope's actually not very big.
Yeah.
And the community of Fairhope is pretty large.
It is. And it's really intriguing. I mean, I keep bragging on Fairhope because while they're family and there's some bickering back and forth, there's always been a community and haven't made a distinction. I mean, we provide police, fire, the same school system. We have park lands, the football fields we've put in Barnwell and there's never really been a drawing of the line, mm-hmm. if you will. As a Fairhope resident, there's a balance to that, which we talk about balance all the time. There's a lot of those services that are people outside the city limits are receiving without paying the property taxes and things like that. The kind of our fear with losing the jurisdictions, and that's a police jurisdiction and a planning jurisdiction, is we won't be able to provide some of those services outside the city limits.
Okay.
So, you know, there's we hope to keep that community and not have to draw lines, but that might be forced upon us.
Okay, yeah, or start annexing stuff and move those lines.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Well, and we are always entertaining annexations, but one of the misconceptions is we go force annexations.
Mm-hmm.
We Fairhope has utilized, there's one measure that a city can force annexations, and it's state legislation. You have to go have a sponsor for a bill. Fairhope's done that three times in the past. It was a Walmart property in the airport. That was our land, I believe. That's correct. There were some misconceptions that we were going to come and annex everything. Well, we can't do that. I mean, that has to be by the property owners that want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to balance whether it's worthwhile to come in sometimes, mm-hmm. too. So, because, you know, we're going to take, you know, the big difference people see is from outside city limits and inside is, City of Fairhope maintains the roads if it's inside the corporate limits, picks up the trash, you mm-hmm. know. But other than that, you know, people kind of have the get the milk for free,
okay,
and services. But so we don't. I think we will see probably more annexations. One of the biggest challenges for Fairhope has been the land around us has been unzoned. So it was kind of a wild west as far as what use goes mm-hmm. where. We couldn't say that's the appropriate place for apartments or industrial or whatever.
Or a gas station or Dollar General for that matter.
Exactly. So we could say, well, it has to be built to a standard, you know, for your infrastructure. But we couldn't do that. Well, with the passing and the Baldwin County votes, referendums that the people voted on, in those jurisdictions or in those districts, it's district planning district 37
okay.
that's to the east that goes all the way to Fish River on 104. It kind of jogs around and mm-hmm. I think down to the southern end, maybe 32, highway 32, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And then district 8, which is kind of south of Fairhope.
Right.
Those will be over the next 180 days will be zoned by the county.
Okay, because so, we just had an election for that.
Yes, and the people in both of those districts voted to implement zoning for the first time. So that will help greatly with the you know, I would invite people to get involved with the county to talk about those things because, you know, Fairhope, for example, has spent 24 years about Greeno Road. What to do with Greeno Road? And so, you know, there's been studies so it doesn't turn into Airport Boulevard.
Right.
And has a character. And a lot of that has to do with the street trees and, you know, well, the south end is not in the city of Fairhope. So if that gets zoned just all commercial by the county and we get a bunch of fast food and all of those things.
It doesn't matter what your planning is. Yeah. Right. So okay. I live in Spring Lake,
mm-hmm.
so I live in Fairhope.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to come to work, I have to leave Fairhope to get to Fairhope.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, because the street right in front of, in between my subdivision and Greeno Road
mm-hmm.
is not in city limits.
That's right.
So.
And it's very... It's not a smooth edge. The mm-hmm. corporate limits are jagged,
yes.
and a lot of people can be confused with that because you can have a neighbor that's in the city, or and you're mm-hmm. not. You know, we pick up their trash. The county picks up the. You know, so there, you can vote here. You can't vote here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of confusion about those boundaries, and especially when you get to Greeno Road on the south end, kind of where you're
right.
where you're at, it starts to break up and it's a little more piecemealed
mm-hmm.
What's in the city and what's not. So yeah, you can imagine we call something zoning districts like a B1. That's business. It's a high intensity business, so mm-hmm. not as much restrictions. There's levels like B1, B2, B3. So if all of South Greeno turns into just B1, well, that's by right uses. People can put fast food and drive-throughs and, you know, really affect what Greeno Road is and what Fairhope's really done over the course of the last quarter decade to protect that. So, we hope to be working with the county and make sure those get zoned appropriately so we can continue that vision.
Okay. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot. Now, getting to inside city limits, we have people talking about how they are buying pictures. Folks are coming in, buying some of the old cottages, knocking them down, and putting a big monstrosity on top of that. In general terms, what can you say about that without going into any specifics?
Sure. We do not. So Fairhope has three historic districts.
Okay.
There's no regulation. So you typically have a carrot and a stick philosophy of how you reach goals. We don't have the stick. In the historic districts, we have Fairhope years ago created these districts, and within each district says what buildings are historic, and then there's opportunity for incentives, federal funding to preserve those buildings.
Okay.
So, and it's very specific what is a historically valuable piece of property. Just because it's old doesn't necessarily mean, you know, That's an evaluation process that historic experts do. That's not a subjective judgmental call,
right?
On my part, but so we do not have a historic preservation policy that says you cannot tear down anything. Now, some of the cottages, you know, that they're free to do that. It's not. There's nothing preventing that. They have to meet current rules and regulations, so we have setbacks and building height limits and things like that, and we're always tweaking those to see what we can do. We just had a zoning amendment that hopes to preserve some of those cottages by just changing the building heights a little bit. So we're always kind of massaging to kind of keep up with current trends. So but yeah, there's you can see that that's a lot of times infill development. You know, it's not going to the virgin land and building things. It's reusing,
right?
And that's a typical evolution of an area. So it's infill development and reuse of buildings. You know, it's the majority of people that don't want restrictions. I mean, there's a lot of people with private property rights, you know, values and don't want that. But again, you know, and how do you balance that with the sentiment of preserving the character of the old buildings? That's always a challenge.
Well, sure. And you have one person that says, I don't want all this, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. And we're not going to do this. And then their next door neighbor says, oh, you know, that sounds like a good idea, Mason. Exactly. I'm going to do that, you know, and because the laws are, I just don't know.
It's sometimes your product of your success, you know, with all of the people nationally that want to be here, property values go up, so then people want to, the most use of that, squeeze as much as you can out of the
and make the money while you can. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah.
Now within our comp plan, we are looking at, okay, if those things are going to happen, then there still needs to be some character involved in that, and not just a big square Cracker Jack box, you know.
Okay.
So keeping the character, and that can be materials, and you know, making sure it's just not a big box. Is one of the goals that we're looking at right now within the comp plan. I think you'll hear some of that discussion tonight.
Okay, so that if somebody does knock down a cottage and put up something twice the size, do you have regulations in place, or are you putting regulations
in place? So with the comp plan, it's not regulations. So at this stage, where we're at in the comp plan, this will be the draft ideas tonight. We'll have a few more months of working and massaging those ideas. Mm-hmm. When we get finished with the comp plan, that's going to be our vision. Then and this is a Restore project, so it was one of the projects was funded by Restore. Well, as a part of that contract, once we get through with the visionary document, and what you see a lot of times in a comp plan is just the visionary. Well, we've actually contracted them to now let's go back to our regulations and amend them to meet the goals of that comp plan.
Okay.
So we'll over the course of it, it's going to take some time. I mean, this is going to be a project that may extend another 18 months and have different phases through there.
All right. How much teeth will be in this this plan that you're putting together?
Yeah. So the comp plan,
I mean, it's all one thing to go through and massage your regulations and everything, but if somebody just says, ah, you know what, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission and comes in and bills what they want, what's the consequence or what's the resolve from that?
So it's hard to answer that one until we know exactly what the regulations we're going to adopt is. But in general, if somebody starts building without approval, now one thing we won't have the capacity for is to put every home that's ever built through a planning commission type meeting.
Sure, sure.
But staff is reviewing those for setbacks, and if we add any regulations in, we'll be reviewing it for those for every building permit that comes in. If somebody's doing that without without a permit, or they have a permit for one thing and do another, we can put stop work orders on those, and they have to correct that before they can proceed any further.
Okay.
So we can withhold certificates of occupancy. The CO, that's the certificate that you can move in until things are corrected. So those are typically the two, real sticks we have. Thankfully, we don't have to use those a lot because, once people know, we get a lot of people that maybe don't know that they have to do certain things. But once people know, they tend to do the right thing.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know of any specific instances that I can say off the top of my head, but, I hear people talk and we'll have an event here. Do you know about the such and such that happened over do you see what happened over behind Larry's house? That big old thing, they knocked down the little house that had a great big yard. And now they got a great big house and it's a little bitty yard and they're only 3 feet away from his property. And so that's the kind of thing that we hear.
Yeah. And we have setbacks. We have, regulations that they're in on paper and dictate how buildings are laid out, sizes, and as long as they're within those, they have the right to do those. So what you do see a lot of times, and Fruit and Nut's one of those areas where they're historically smaller lots than we allow, but they were here before we ever had a land use code or a zoning code.
Okay.
And they're non-conforming lots. And you might have a little 2-1, some people call it it might just be a little 2-1 single-story home, and that gets torn down,
and they put a
full-size house that goes 10 foot from the property line, and then they build a garage which can be 5 foot from the property line. Yeah, it's a big change, but it's well within the regulations and what's allowed. And it's tough. We had a conversation with someone just called and said, hey, can we do something else? Can we make it a 20-foot setbacks? Well, you make it unbuildable. So if you have a 20-foot setback on both side lot lines of a 66-foot lot, you're not have nothing but shotgun houses.
Okay, yeah.
So, there's a balance there. And overwhelmingly, I don't think there's major changes needed. I think certain tweaks can be made in some areas, but and that's usually what we look at doing instead of blanket, no more destruction of anything. Well, that can create other problems, unforeseen problems. Mm-hmm. You have unsafe houses
we can't sell this property because you can't build anything on it.
Yes.
So we're just going to abandon the property, and now you've got you got a house that
and somebody is, okay, well, we're just going to rent it out, and it's. There's all kind of domino effects of what can happen. So how do we massage what we have to get to an end result that we want to see? And the biggest challenge for me, like I said, with It's funny. I mean, I'm married. My wife and I debate on things and have those conversations about how we want our household to grow,
right?
What we want to do for our son, and you know, sometimes those go smooth, and sometimes they don't. And that's just two of us. You know, how do you have a vision for 25,000? Or, you know, approximately
right.
people.
And the more people you put in, the harder it gets, right?
So the probably the biggest writing the rules and regulations are relatively easy if you know where you want to get to. And I think that's the challenge for us through this comp plan. Where do we want to be? Because we hear so many opinions, and one is, well, we don't want any regulations on one side, and it's usually we don't want any regulations on our property, but tell the people around us what to do.
Yeah,
that's more common. But versus, you know, don't let anybody change anything, and tell them what color you know, to paint their buildings and all those things. Where's the balance there? And that's always the challenge. Like, what is the vision? And a comp plan shouldn't be static. You're always changing. It's always evolving. Because you're going to make a change here to address one thing, and it's going to happen. It's going to do something you didn't intend. You're going to see a project that, you know, we upped the height limits in the CBD. Before, I was working with the city in the Central Business District. We increased the height limits to allow architects to do more intriguing roof pitches and have some character in the building. Well, people just made taller boxes, you know, so you're constantly tweaking.
That's not what we had in mind. And recently it came up, someone wants, I can't remember the details, but someone wants a variance to be able to have parties up on some of the roofs.
There is
more or less, or they want living space up on the roof.
It wasn't a variance. There was the Planning Commission made a recommendation to the City Council for a zoning amendment to allow rooftop terraces.
Okay, yeah,
and that will be, I believe, March 28th on the City Council agenda. And what that is, so we allow 3-story buildings.
Right,
we don't allow 4-story buildings. A rooftop
is it a height limit or a story limit or a combination of the two? A
combination of the two. So very astute. What the building code, separate from the building code, considers a rooftop terrace a story. Well, for the purposes of the zoning ordinance, one of the amendments is we are not going to consider the rooftop terrace a story. However, under roof structure, they can only be on top of that. There can only be 25% roof coverage.
Okay.
But all of that has to stay under the 40-foot height limit. So with one exception, elevator shafts and stairs can go up a little bit higher.
Okay, yeah.
Up to 45.
There's no way you could put an elevator shaft at under the height limit.
Because your roof deck's here, that has to exit onto this. So
right.
But there's a limit of that elevator and stairs can only be 7.5% of those. So you're not filling up that third floor.
Okay.
And everything else has to be under a standard 40-foot height limit. So,
okay.
You
can put a pergola, but you can't put a roof kind of thing? Or?
If you stay under that 25%, you can actually put a roof. I mean, you know, if somebody's going to put, and it has to be an accessory use. That means it's not an independent business operating on the roof. So you can't have an independent bar. You can have, let's say, an office building, and they have a eating area with some picnic tables under a shade structure on the roof.
So in other words, if WABF here at our office here decided to go up on the roof and put a bar up there, it could be the WABF bar and for our people, but it can't be a McDonald's bar.
Independent.
They'd
have to be a partner there. I mean, there's ways you can make that, but yes, it cannot be its own business. Now, there's exceptions, because what we were looking at is really that above the third floor. There's little limits. You're on a one-story building here. Mm-hmm. So there's really little... You can add a second and third floor, and theoretically, I don't recommend it, go build all the way to your property lines. But so there wouldn't be any problem if you just wanted to put a whole deco on the roof. Then we'd look at the use and see if it's, you know, there's certain uses that would have to go to our Board of Adjustment. We have special approval. You know, certain uses, like a hotel in downtown, in a lot of the zoning districts, that's not a by right use. That means, you know, but you would have to go to Board of Adjustment, show your plan, how you're going to handle parking, you know, how you're going to handle public streets, sidewalks, and the Board of Adjustment would review that case and see if that hotel was appropriate, the plan was appropriate, in the location that's being presented in.
Okay.
So certain uses would still have to go through and get an approval.
Okay. Now, are you part and parcel of the parking planning, or is that more a different?
That certainly interacts with our world. We review a lot of the new things.
Okay.
You know, when it comes into you know, maintenance, there's a lot of other people involved, from a right-of-way inspector, a public works director, you know, a lot of entities that kind of review those. But any new project, yes, we look at, and we are, the Planning Commission has created a subcommittee to look at some of the parking downtown and what we can do.
And lack thereof, okay.
Yes, yep. You know, and what we come out of that, I'm not 100% sure about right now, but we're certainly looking at that and seeing options. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, that we're very early. It could be that we limit some type of businesses. You know, retail is important in our downtown.
Right. Without retail, you don't have a...
Yeah.
You got to have retail. You got to have food to make sure that people stay for the retail.
Yeah.
And one of the things I get from some of the local retail establishments here is there are too many attorneys, real estates, I don't want to say impulse buy, but non-retail stuff coming in that don't bring people in.
Right.
And so how do you find the balance in
they
that?
Want to be down close to the restaurants and the shops. But,
yeah, you
but
can't
the
blame
problem
them, but
with,
taking, but there's a finite amount of space.
And, yeah. And it is. I mean, it can really kill a downtown slowly. Because, you know, if you walk down a block, someone visiting town for, and let's face it, downtown Fairhope is one of those that
walk
draws people.
Right.
And if you can walk a block and not have a store window to gaze in or a shop to walk in, it's less attractive if everything's a private office.
Right.
And we're not running anybody out, I want to make sure, but we are looking at ways to preserve those retail spaces. And one of those is if you have parking, if you can handle your parking on site, then, you know, okay. But if you can't, you shouldn't be taking up, you know, the downtown parking, because that's a big investment for a city. Each of those parking spaces, you know, we did a study, and on national average, it costs $70,000 to $90,000 for a parking space for a city. You know, and some of those come into opportunity cost. But that's a big investment, and we don't charge for those parking. We don't have limits on those parking spaces. So preserving those for the visitors, for the people coming down, visitors from out of town, and just those of us. I live a half a mile from town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so being able to get into a shop or a grocery store or something along those lines is extremely important. So those are kind of things we're looking at. And then even going big, you know, okay, what else could we do? Looking at turning some streets one way is, I mean, there's a broad range of options we're looking at, not settling on anything right now, but if you did turn some streets one way, you can have a road diet and add more parking. You know, if it's a one-lane paving strip, you can have larger sidewalks. So everything's on the table right now. We're just kind of evaluating, and again, all of these decisions will be public.
And you'll be taking influence on that tonight, is that correct?
Tonight's a bigger picture. So the comp plan, what you'll probably see tonight is bigger picture of what we're going to, what the comp plan team is has taken all, for 4 months, taken a lot of input and put a land use plan. And it will be utilizing the comprehensive plans we've had in the past. It just builds on that.
Okay.
So not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, don't have to reinvent the wheel.
So how do we, you know, certain things were working, certain things were not. How do we, what do we tweak? What visionary things? I mean, some of those things we didn't really consider, you know, really east of 181 as much as we did in the last comp plan. So, but how are, what do we think now and what's the vision in that area? So that will be tonight, not so much as getting in the weeds about, but you might hear, you know, preserving downtown for retail is, has been a big concern. So you might hear some of those things. It's going to be interesting to me. I've been working. They've been here since Thursday. We had a charrette, and the comp plan team we've hired have been here since Thursday. They're locked up in a room and been churning out ideas. So I get to sit back and be the audience tonight. So
okay.
I'm interested in what they present as well. And we'll, you know, the staff, planning commission, city council, mayor, and every citizen will have more chances to react to what they present tonight.
Okay.
This is just kind of the first draft, and then they kind of say, okay, how close are we? Are we getting close? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what time is that again?
5:30.
5:30.
It's going to be at the Civic Center, right in City Hall, where council, just to the right of the council chambers when you come.
So, okay. And you're going to have pizza.
We are going to have pizza.
All right. Well, okay. So tonight we could go on. I could probably talk to you about this for another 2 hours and just barely scratch the surface of the stuff we want to talk about. But unfortunately, we've got other business to take care of, and I know that you need to get back to the office and stuff. But I appreciate you, Mr. Simmons, for coming in. Hunter, it's great. You are welcome back any time.
Well, thank you. So, it's always a pleasure.
And I'd be glad to get you back in here with Lori sometime because, again, she's more connected to that stuff than I am.
Sure. She would ask more pointed questions.
She would hold your feet to the fire. So.
Yes. Yes. But she does. She is aware of it and, you know, kind of keeps in touch with a lot of her cases and its calls. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, once again, if you're going to keep their feet to the fire, do it tonight at 5:30 at the Civic Center. And you can talk to Mr. Hunter Simmons there. And I appreciate you coming in. I really,
thank
really
you
do.
So much.
This was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We talked about the roof ordinance just a few minutes ago. Well, here's my opinion of that, and along with the Drifters on 1480.
Up on the roof, up on the roof. When this old world starts.